I got nothing.
I was happy for him.
When
did this happen?
Yeah.
Whenever he was in Chicago, he told me the week after. So 2 weeks ago, maybe?
2 weeks ago. That was the last time you were happy for somebody 2 weeks ago.
Should I have been happy for someone this morning?
No, I was just asking.
When's the last time you were happy for somebody?
I was happy for my daughter. She got a 15 out of 15 on her spelling test.
I just told you why I was happy for someone. My son bought my lunch yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was happy to receive that. I was happy for him because he was...
He's in a position. He has a good job that he can.
So how did that go down? No, Dad, I got this one.
No, it was. He's 22 years old and taller than me, but it was cute. He's still my son. And we're walking into the restaurant and he goes, now, how should I do this? Should I use my debit card or pay cash? And I said, you know, just whatever you think. Do you have money to use your debit card? And he goes, well, yeah. And I go, well, you can use either one you think. So he used cash. He didn't use the debit card.
Hmm.
We went to the ATM and he got some money out. He goes, now, do you need some money? And I go, no, I'm okay. I can give you $60, is what he said. I can give you $60 and not even think about it.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
That's a good feeling.
But that's...
You know, we haven't started the podcast yet, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, hi, I'm Chick McGee and we're off the air. I like this. Whoever this is.
Oh, you don't know this?
I know this.
Is this Bob?
No.
Nope.
Is it
this
Pearl
is cool.
Jam?
Is
it
Pearl Jam? No, it's not.
No.
I'm not playing Pearl Jam.
Is it Nigel and the Nightcats? Move up aside and let the man go through. Let the man is this Oreo Jones?
No, it's
not. Well, I'll go to the rap expert, my co-host, Jess. Jess, do you know who this is? Let the man
go. This is one of our earlier submissions. No,
this is Mike Doty.
Thank you.
Oh,
the Soul Coughing.
Oh,
is this Soul Coughing reimagined or something?
Super Bon Bon.
I haven't heard this.
I like regular Bon Bons. I never had a super one.
She just had an Oreo bowl.
An Oreo bowl. Those only last after day two. They get a little fudgy.
How old are those?
Oh, just yesterday.
Oh,
Cookie Man.
I know.
This is very good, actually.
Oh, this is awesome.
Thank you for downloading the Off the Air podcast. I'm Chick, the leader. That's Jess.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jason. Turn it up. Yeah.
I'll get to it.
Turning it up.
I would never have guessed. I saw this guy on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is not the noise that I thought would come from his face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's just kind of humming a guitar right now doing
very,
stuff.
Very, very soulful.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? How old is this?
This is Soul Coughing, so whenever Circles came out, I'm not sure on that. 90.
I need a time, like a date, like a year.
You know what? You've been here for 10 minutes, and you've gotten pissed at me 3 times.
No. See,
yes.
That's... No, no. How I talk to you. If you internalize it as me being pissed off, then that's yours.
She almost said that in a way, I'm incapable of pissing you off. That's kind of how she presented
it. Well, and that pisses me off because she can't piss me off.
You
all know it.
No, I can piss you off if you want.
So. All right, go ahead. Try. This will be good. This is a good exercise.
Why would I want to piss you off? That's the difference between me and you.
I pissed you off yesterday.
Yeah, you sure as fuck did. Good work.
Are we going to talk about that?
No, I don't think it's necessary, but...
I don't know how it pissed you off. But.
Oh, my God. Do you want to see what my face looked like yesterday when you pissed me off? Let's keep talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, let me see. We go to emails?
Sure.
Hit
them up. We have a couple.
Let's welcome our guest first. Maybe we won't fight in front of company.
Sorry, is this bad? Is this like when they fight on the big show and you're uncomfortable?
Mm.
Or do you know us better? You know us better.
Yeah. I know that this is semi tongue-in-cheek.
This is...
I'd go semi.
This is Greg Warren. He visits us from...
No, it's not.
How dare you.
It's our good buddy Josh Arnold.
Finally. Josh,
yes.
Comedian Josh Arnold, and he has a backstory to his appearance on today's show. We might want to save that for a little bit.
Because he has a backstory?
Yeah.
He has a backstory not about his appearance. He has a backstory about his unappearance on the other episodes he was supposed to be on.
Mm.
You set a record for...
No shows?
No, yeah, being scheduled and
Well, and it happened both ways, too.
It did?
Because yesterday you bumped him to today.
Oh, you had a meeting yesterday.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a... Yeah. Oh, that's... It's amazing that you've made it here.
It is. Yeah, yeah.
I think we all should pat each other on the back for making this happen. I think this is
good
next
work.
To...
good work.
Next to We Are the World. Mm-hmm. Bringing this together is probably... Yeah. Here's an email. Jason, Jess, Chick, I've never connected more and been able to relate to any episode of OTA like I did with the 65th episode featuring David Landau. Oh. I actually listened to that fucker three times the day it was released. So many thought-provoking, riveting stories and topics. Well done, crew.
Oh.
I've realized Off the Air is the acid of podcasts. It's the best value and quality out of any other podcast. It has the longest lasting effect with an end result that expands your mind. Your senses and emotions are heightened, but you're still left wanting more until the next episode is downloaded. If you feel like getting together and burning down some houses on Devil's Night like they did in the movie The Crow, just let me know. Please continue to do that voodoo that you do so well. That's Joe Schultz in Fort Wayne.
Thanks, Joe.
I've had, and not meaning this number ironically, but coincidentally, I should say, but three different people emailed us saying they listened to that episode three times.
Three times.
Who listens to an episode three times?
I have listened to that episode zero times.
You don't listen to the episodes, though, because you're your harshest critic.
Yep.
Why did you stop listening?
I don't know. The last episode I listened to, I think, was...
Bob.
I did not listen
you
to
did? Oh, that's such a good one.
I listened to, I want to say Ace Cosby maybe was the last one I listened to.
So you didn't listen to Don Stuck?
I listened to part of that.
Okay.
I didn't listen to all of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should we explore that, or do you want to keep that yours is why you're not listening? Or do you not know why you're not listening?
I don't know why I'm not listening. Maybe I'm saving them up. Maybe I'll listen to them like...
A marathon?
Yeah.
You're getting in a hole.
I know. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
That is the joy of some people who, let's say, today,
right.
They realize, oh my gosh, Chick has a podcast. Oh my gosh, there's 60-some episodes.
Yeah.
And then they'll just chew through them.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Maybe that's what I should do. That's how I like to watch TV. Yes, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, like just all at one in one sitting.
Do you have a gallon of water by you?
I do.
It's her thing. It's her new thing.
It's not my thing. It should be everybody's thing. You should take in a gallon of water a day.
Okay.
That's all.
Because the people that don't are dying or...
No, I'm just... I just don't drink a lot of fluids at all, so...
So this is forcing yourself...
Yes.
...into... Okay.
I have a time frame that I need to
you
get
better
to.
Have...
I write it on the side so I know how much to drink. This is horribly boring.
No. Drinking water, so you know, it's very interesting to me. No?
No.
Hello?
Holy awesome friggin' podcast. Jess, ladies first. Chick, Jason, just listened to the Dave Landau podcast. Could have listened to it for at least three more hours.
Yeah.
Which would be three more times, more or less.
Is that
very
a number?
Refreshing to hear someone talk about how fucking narcissistic the next generation seems to be. I have no children of my own, but took on my wife's three kids when... One of the kids needed reassurance. If just for doing chores and if they don't get it, they act broken. But this is kind of a...
How many times do you read these before we go on the air?
None.
No.
Zero.
Okay.
Total.
I was just confirming.
Was that bad? No. Oh, I don't think I should read what he wrote.
Then
is
don't.
My problem.
Then don't.
All right.
But this is
a stepfather, and I don't think he means to type what he's meant.
Is his name on there?
What he meant to, you know what I'm
saying? Do you want to just next this one all together?
Yeah, let's start over. Next one.
That's it.
Thanks for the email, but we're going to pass.
All right.
Hey, Josh is here.
Josh is here.
Hi, Josh.
Hi. No, I feel like I should, you guys.
No, this was, it turns out this is a stepfather who's complaining about one of the topics we talked about with Dave Landau was we were worried about the declining attention span and entitlement of the generation.
After ours,
right
after Dave and I are the same age, yeah.
32,
which is what?
32.
Okay, I'm 35, so
you're kind of close. So the 20-somethings now,
yes,
maybe, or earlier than that. Teens,
I would
20.
Say, this is terrible, but I want to say the girls that my brother dates, so like 20,
see,
25
no,
and under.
No, you're doing what the guy did with the email, I think.
No, I'm not
I know,
saying
I know
that's
you can be. I know
I
you can
love
be,
my brother's current girlfriend.
I know you can
How
be objective,
that?
But...
Yeah.
But you yourself admitted that you love your brother and whoever he dates, you're going to be protective
even
of.
If, yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. And even if I don't love them, I'll pretend
he'll
like
never
I
know
do.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I don't want to put that kind of.
So 20-something, we were saying.
I'd say 25 and under.
we were there entitled, and it was
yeah.
The 30 to 35 age group was the last age group where it's a simple.
We got a trophy. There was a winner. There was a loser.
There was first, second, third.
All that stuff happened when you were a kid, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And that stopped, and then everybody got trophies for competing and everything.
Right.
Even though the kids, you know, we didn't talk about that with Dave. Maybe that because the kids know who wins and who loses.
Well, yeah, because even if they don't officially keep score, you have that asshole dad who's like, sure. My kid had this many RBIs, and my kid did this, and this is you know. And
so is that fucking them up? In a different way, because
we're not talking about
it. But everybody knows who wins and loses. You know what I mean?
It has to be,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you just let them feel the feeling of being a loser and let the feeling of winning.
Why? And also, why can't we celebrate the winners?
Winner, yeah.
Right.
Right.
I mean, when did that become a bad thing?
And then wouldn't the winners, when they really do start to win, be even more obnoxious because they're not the term gracious winner would go away,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And what would be the equivalent to a loser? A gracious loser, I guess.
A humble loser, accept
defeat. And what would happen to the saying? It's not whether you win or lose. You got to get back up. That saying goes out the window, evidently,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. everybody wins.
And maybe that practice goes out the window as well.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I'm depressed now. I don't think we should do that.
I don't know. I was. Did you play sports as a kid?
I played soccer. Yeah,
played soccer.
Yes.
Like through high school?
No, I played grade school and then into middle school. And I knew I wasn't good,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of had fun doing it.
Yeah.
And I knew that there were plenty of guys who were better than me, mm-hmm. and I was on a losing team for the most part.
Yeah.
But it was good to know where you stand.
Yeah. Sure.
So.
To have that feeling, yeah.
So now, when I went out for high school football, all the boys made the team because it was there were 180
small,
kids.
Yeah.
180 kids in my graduating class. So if
you doesn't seem that small for where you were from. That seems kind of big.
Really?
Yeah, because I graduated with 170 kids in 2000.
Now, how big is New Pal? Do you know the population? It's like 6,000 or 7,000. London's about the same size.
I have no idea. No, London's bigger. You guys have a huge downtown compared to.
Oh yeah, yeah. Maybe you're right.
Our liquor store and.
It's a good liquor
library.
Store.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Oh, it's easy to shoplift at that liquor store, New Pal. Yeah. What did I say?
Nice.
No, my point is, if you went out for football at my high school, you made the team.
Yeah, but that didn't mean you started.
No, certainly not. No, but. There are some other bigger schools that if you go out for football, you don't make the team. You don't even make second or third string. You just don't make the team.
Sure. Yeah.
So.
I don't know, but I think, are you sure? Because in football, I don't think there's tryouts. I think that everybody, because they want it to.
No.
They want it to look full on the sideline. Mm-hmm. They want it to be intimidating. That's why they dress freshmen and have them stand out there with their thumbs in their asses. No.
What have you got against freshmen?
Nothing. I'm just saying that's usually what's happening. They're dressing, but it's more for the appearance of a huge football mm-hmm. team. No?
I guess, but maybe at a school like Warren Central, every kid, this is a big, I don't know how many. How many students in your high school, a graduating class?
No idea. I would guess 300.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Huh. Okay, so if you carry a roster.
How many were there over 1,000 in your daughter's graduating class?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like. I want to say 1,400.
Well, Warren's bigger than that.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So they can't.
It's
they
a
can't,
campus. Yeah.
They can't put every. They can't put every kid on who tries out for football on the team, or every kid that tries out for baseball on the team.
Yeah,
sure.
I guess not. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know.
1,400 in the graduating class.
In the graduating
in,
class.
Yeah, that's insane.
Class. In
that
her graduating class. Yeah.
Her brother and I sat in the bleachers for...
Where were you? Where was... But where was it?
An hour and a half at the Fairgrounds Coliseum.
Yeah, the graduation was at Pepsi Coliseum.
For an hour and a half listening to names being read off.
Yeah.
1,400, you'd be there for 4 hours.
It was, and they were
It was like
really,
a college graduation.
Yeah. There was a lot of people.
Wow.
Ours was in our high school gym.
Yeah.
How many people are your graduating class?
350.
Bedford, that's big, right? Mm-hmm.
Consolidated. There was only two high schools in the whole county.
And
we were the big one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And my senior year was the first year we ever did graduation on the football field.
Well, that's cool.
It was fun. Real good time.
So you get your diploma and then did you get tackled? Or?
No, but, you know, people are wearing sandals and just, you know, having a good time. Sunglasses, what have you.
My dad was
a little more fun outside.
My dad was so pissed off. I was the only girl that wore pants to graduation. and I wouldn't wear makeup. I was such an asshole. I was like, I'm not wearing makeup, and I'm not wearing a dress. I don't know why.
Okay. I can't.
Yeah, I have no idea why.
Because you're not belligerent now like that.
Are you sure?
Maybe a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know.
She doesn't like to be told what to do.
My dad was angry. Nobody does.
I think
sometimes it's fun to be told what to do. It really is. You're let off the hook of making your... But I also, I'm a person who I don't trust my decision making a lot.
Oh, see, so, I'm like, not to get into... Well, we actually should get into this, I guess.
God.
No, when I... For lack of a better term, when I have one of my... Because we've talked about this, and I don't know if we can cut this part out if you don't want to talk about it, but we've talked about anxiety and depression.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Josh and I think Josh is farther along because I'm not on any medication or anything, but Josh is still...
You're medicated?
He's medicated.
Yeah, daily. Yeah.
And he has some things he deals with. But when I have an episode now coming on, I can't make decisions.
No. Your capacity...
You've always been that way, though.
I do like...
But in your brain, you think that when you can't make a decision, that this is the start. You're like, I'm going to be depressed now. And I said, maybe this is an anxiety attack because it's usually isolated. And
did I tell you that? I did tell you that. I remember your voice telling me this.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say that it's a conscious decision?
What?
Or it is an unconscious...
I think she's implying that if I have trouble making decisions, which happened Saturday... And I thought, this is going to be a depression episode coming on for me. And I don't know how long it's going to last.
Well, is that a typical symptom of...
Yes. Okay. The last bad one I had, it's got to be 6 or 7 years ago, probably. And I was in the grocery store and I couldn't decide what bread to buy. And I just started crying about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but this time it didn't happen. But so what you're saying is that maybe I shouldn't make that leap to, I'm going to be depressed now, or try
to
push that out of my head.
Well, it's easy to do that. Your brain kind of trains itself.
Right,
But yes, you shouldn't. You should think, this is just a minor...
I'm just a little confused.
...moment of indecisiveness. And then maybe the best thing is to power through it and just make a decision regardless of if it's the right one or not.
Yeah, I ended up buying 3 shirts I'll probably never wear. But
okay, but you did it.
But I did it.
And then the depression didn't come on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe... Maybe some residual...
Well, you know what? No, because without revealing a little bit too much more, but I'm in the middle of something right now that I'm trying to deal with and decide about and think about, but not be negative about it. And but it's pretty tough and awful. And it's tough and awful for me.
But if someone gives you a little bit of bad news, chick will multiply it.
Yeah.
But
I'm not going to use the word drama queen, but that's what I want to do.
You want to say drama queen.
I want to say drama queen.
But is it the body and the mind and the feelings response to build up, oh, crap, I got to defend myself for the worst?
Right. That's what I think he does. It's a defense thing where he's like, I'm going to prepare myself for the worst. So when it's not that bad, I'm okay.
So I do. But what I want to do is not, I want to say bother the people I care about with it.
What did you just say?
I don't want to bother the people I care about with it.
Did you say I don't?
I don't.
That's what you just said?
I know I do.
Okay.
But I don't want to.
He's saying that's what he wants.
So wait, so if you're going through something, you will not talk about it with people close to you because you feel it's a burden to
no,
them?
No, that's not true. That's
no,
not true.
I will,
he
talk,
will
about
talk
about
it,
about but
it,
I don't want to.
But he says he doesn't want to. I think that that's just a way for him to go, I really don't want to do this. I don't want to be a burden. But I'm gonna.
It's thoughtful of you, but it's you should unleash it.
No. But I think her point is, I should keep it to myself. Am I right?
No, I just think that there's another way to talk about it.
Okay.
No. That's her way. She's like, she keeps it to herself.
No, she's,
right.
They're very different when they
when it comes
stress.
To when it comes to illness or sickness or any sort of crisis, she holds it in, and it's, I don't know, a couple weeks before she says anything at all about it.
Only because...
Because she was taught... That's the way she was taught.
I was taught that way, but in the same breath, it's just like, I feel bad. Why would I want to make anybody else feel bad? I'm not being an asshole by keeping it to myself. I'm just like, if I feel bad and I tell you and then you feel bad and then there's two of us that feel bad and that seems worse than just one of us
feeling bad. That's a leap there. You're just because you tell somebody
something,
that doesn't mean they're going to feel bad.
No, but if I have information that's going to make them feel bad, then it is.
But you are making an assumption that that's going to make them feel bad.
If I said I'm dying, I'm going to assume if I told someone that
well,
they would
okay,
feel bad.
Well, okay, let's go to the worst example.
What are you, me? What's going on over there? Right.
No, I just
is don't. Any of this making sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, as far as...
It sounds like you guys have the same philosophy, you just act on it differently.
You both... completely different.
As far you both as don't want to make people feel bad with right. your issues, well, so one of you holds it in, the other one's still talking.
Goes ahead and does it.
But he also... the thing with him is that if something is wrong... If something's wrong with him
it's
or something's bothering
too.
Him, no,
it's my fault.
No,
yeah.
That's what I was going to say. If something's wrong or bothering him, he a part of him wants to share it because he wants to see how upset you're going to get because that's how he measures love.
Chick, does that feel right?
Only I'm saying that's your mother thing. That's
no,
what you
no,
were taught.
No, and I know exactly where I get that, and you're exactly right.
Right.
I mean, if I didn't, my mother would. Yeah, that's exactly what she would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would gauge how upset my father got at certain things. She would tell him, well, you just must not love me anymore. I mean, she would actually say the words.
Yes.
True.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. So when we would fight or whatever, I just shut down. Like, I'm just like, I'm not going to talk. I don't want to do this. And then he's like, I'm going to make you cry. You know, like, not that, but just wanted me to respond. Any kind of response was a good response.
As Al Jackson so wonderfully said, it's a wonder we lasted as long
as
we did.
That's true.
Aren't parents terrible for children?
They really, no, Josh, they really
it's
are.
True.
And I, it's so hard to get back to the children. It's so hard now because all parents think they're doing the right thing by now by not signifying a winner, pumping up everyone, not letting the kids feel bad. But
yeah,
it reminds me of antibiotics. I mean, if you take every antibiotic in the world, none of them are going to work sooner or later. But if you tell every kid they're a winner forever and they lose, it's going to be horrible when they lose.
And
right?
they're not going to get better at anything.
Mm-hmm.
With soccer, I was terrible, so I had to make a decision. Do I change who I am and get better at soccer?
Right.
Or do I move on to something I'm actually sort of naturally talented
mm-hmm.
at?
Right.
And that's the decision I made.
So right.
That's why.
And you're glad that you did?
Yes.
That's why you're a dancer.
It's more, yeah.
You're a dancer now.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Right. I'm struggling because my son he plays football. And I see that he enjoys, like, he likes it. But he's the funny kid. Like, he's the comic relief on the team. He makes the kids laugh. And he's also, like, a good coach. He's a good teammate. He's like, good job. Next time, wrap around or do this. And I want him to work hard at something so that he can be good at something and be proud of it. Because I tried every fucking sport under the sun, and I never stuck with anything. And I regret it. But at the same time, I look at the kids who are good at football right now, and some of them probably will go on and do well in college and maybe get a scholarship or whatever. But I know that judging by the guys I went to high school with and the ones that played football and the ones that didn't, it's going to be okay if my son doesn't play football.
Oh, no. No,
you know
it's not. No, no. There, it's alarming how many, well, especially fathers. It's just a guy.
They're out there, and these kids are in third and fourth grade, and they are breeding what they think is the next Heisman Trophy
winner.
And
let me tell you something, and those fathers don't, for whatever reason, those fathers don't know how to convey the information to their sons.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's insane.
You know?
And that has
screaming.
To come from lack of communication with their own father. Right?
And because I went through that with my dad, because my grandfather won, like, the London, Ohio Football Award when he was on the team. And my dad was this track star. It was part of the 4x100 meter relay. And I was
the funny kid.
The funny kid. I was like, what the heck? I don't know this. But I always had size.
Mm-hmm.
So it was doubly frustrating for everybody, because if I'd have taken stuff seriously and like, okay, I'm going to go out there, and if I could drum up some of this anger that I've built over 30 years or 30, whatever, however long, at 18, I would have been all state. But I just, like, this isn't that important, you know? Mm-hmm. And but those kids are getting this not only during practice, but I mark my words, because my dad did it to me. They put their sons down in front of the TV and make them watch football, and they'll see what this guy's doing. See, and I can't imagine with the DVR, it's probably like watching a game tape with their kids. Like, now see what he's doing. Now you need to do that. Coming up this, Dad, I'm 10. Shut up. Now watch. Yeah, you know.
And those kids will quit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I came very close to just not playing my junior year. It was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah,
because it was just, I would absolutely dread August, because first 2 weeks in August we had conditioning. Second 2 weeks, we had two-a-days. Mm-hmm. And then after Labor Day, I'd watch Jerry Lewis, and then we'd go to high school. And I would never look forward to anything more than the start of school, because we didn't have to go to two-a-day football practice. Oh, God. Dry heaves. And you didn't do anything like that when you were a kid, though. You were a cheerleader, right, or something?
I think so. I don't know. I played volleyball, and I literally tried every single sport. Just tried all of them. One season. Did everything one season.
Were you were interested in these things, or you just wanted to see?
I wanted to be good at something, and I didn't want to work at it. So I tried everything to see what my natural talent was, and it turns out I didn't have one.
As fucked up as it is, and as much as I've tried to let it go, my mom and dad did the best they could. The one thing you didn't want to look at them and see disappointment in you, in their eyes.
Sure.
And it was, oh, God, that was the worst. So, okay, yeah, what the heck ever. Let's do this.
My brother was a really good athlete. And my dad knew and didn't share with me that I was not. And so he would, in the off season, when my brother wasn't playing football or baseball, my dad would get theater tickets and we would go to the
Which
theater.
Is great.
Yeah. Yes. He was like, this is your thing.
Right.
This is what we're going to do. And I wish he would have just been like, you're costing me so much fucking money. Stop doing all these sports that you hate.
I got very lucky. My parents let me know what I was good at and what I wasn't good at. Yeah. And it was never in a cruel way. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a kid, it wasn't great to hear like, this isn't your thing or whatever.
No. Right.
But
I tried out for baseball. And I couldn't hit a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Could
mm-hmm.
not do it. And
it was
awful.
And did they... say, well, why don't you try something else?
No. Well, I could shoot. I could play basketball a little bit, and I could play football a little bit, but I didn't take any of it. So they pointed me toward that. So
yeah, good. And that's why my parents.
But I mean,
drama.
That's why I love that. Yeah. I love that Ryan Adams song. I taught myself how to grow old because my famous story is when I was 6 years old, walking home from kindergarten. I started late because of my birthday. Don't get any thoughts into your head, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
But
dummy.
Yeah, I walked home from kindergarten by myself. And my mom met me at the house. You go, oh, you can walk home by yourself? And I go, yeah. Last I saw of her. So that's kind of a cartoon, but not really.
Yeah.
So, Josh, how did your parents let you know that?
Did you have good parents? You think you had good
parents? Yeah, very supportive.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
And is your dad named Arnold? Please let it be Arnold.
It's not. No, it's Larry Arnold, which is a good name.
Larry Arnold.
Yeah. Larry Arnold.
That's a good
that's
one.
A
that's
great
good.
Name.
Larry Ralph Arnold.
Oh, my gosh. So. He has like all the masculine names all together.
Yeah. Yes. Is your grandfather like an iron worker is what I see.
Actually, he was adopted, so we don't know what my...
Adopted? That's hilarious. No, I mean...
But yeah, he's my grandpa or whatever.
Right.
Sure, yeah.
And
he's not your real grandpa. We all know.
Well, I mean, I love him a little less for it, but it's still
right.
Wouldn't you have loved to have had these sensibilities when you were a kid, or did you have any? You might not have. You probably didn't even notice it, right? I mean,
what's that?
That your father was adopted, or did he?
Oh, when he told me, I felt a little badly for him. Like I was probably 10 or 12 or something when he said something. And I remember thinking, like, are you okay? Are you sad? And I asked him all kinds of questions, and he answered them. He said, you know, there was never a nagging curiosity as to what...
Birth mother
and he said he felt like he knew a little bit of the backstory. She just couldn't afford him. And so he felt sort of grateful that she made a responsible decision. He certainly had issues with his adopted parents.
Oh yeah.
He was always interested in radio and wanted to get into different things, and they were trying to urge him in other directions. So,
sure.
So I think he treated me and my brothers the opposite. Yeah.
That's, do you know how rare that is?
I know. I'm realizing that more and more.
People think what you want, but this girl is the world's greatest mother because she didn't have that great of a childhood. Mm-hmm. And that's so fucking rare.
Partially true.
Well,
there were just incidences that I had and that I decided I'm going to do the opposite of that.
Yeah.
But then you have the people who are like, well, I beat my kid because my dad beat me. You know, right. That, and then that's the other extreme.
Yes.
So.
But then you have me who really wasn't parented at all. I was a feral child. And, I continued
like a barn cat,
like a barn cat, and exactly like a barn cat. And I continued that proud tradition until I was probably about 40 years old, and then finally woke up and go, "Hey, I've got some pretty great kids, and I still feel like I got in a little bit too late and feel horrible about it, but...
But you're in.
But I'm in, and everybody's doing okay, and...
You're getting free lunches?
My oldest daughter always tells me... My oldest daughter always tells me, Dad, it doesn't matter what happened before, we're here right now, so...
That's great.
I'm really... Yeah, especially for her, because she really got the worst, the fucking worst of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think I'm bad now? Oh, jiminy Christmas. Who says fuck and then jiminy Christmas? Am I the only one?
I think so.
I think I'm only
one. You can do that.
I'm the only one.
You're the leader.
I am the leader. That's
say
right.
Say whatever you want.
Has anybody ever said jiminy fucking Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
That is
good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a thing now.
Didn't we have a game one time where we mixed...
Where can you put fuck in the middle of? Like in what? Like fan... Fucking-tastic. Yeah. Like,
look at that
like
nincom
that.
Fucking poop.
Yeah, just anything. Anything that you could put fuck in the middle of.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
We felt bad about that one. Fucktard.
I kind of feel bad about that, too.
Yeah, I like it.
We had that book, and
what
it was...
What a fucktard. This was like halves, Mad Libs for
it was,
cuss words.
Yeah,
but it was two books on like a... On
so
a,
Mad Libs.
Right.
No, it was two books, but then you would flip, and one would be like the beginning of a cuss word, and then the other would be... And you could just like change them in all different configurations of curse words. Yeah.
Yeah, like shit hell or...
No, that was terrible.
Fuckapalooza? No. What?
Usually one of them's kind of maybe a noun.
Yeah, something like that.
The second one's usually a noun or something. Yeah.
I like shithell. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's something my 7-year-old nephew would say.
Exactly. We were talking about that. There's those kids that can't
that
cuss.
Age.
And there was a kid who he would always, and we still say it now because we thought it was so funny. He was like, poopy shit darn. And we were like, what did you just say?
Well, one of my proudest moments as a father, and I was just starting to come back to my... Starting to realize I've got some pretty cool kids here, and I better was my son who was in, I'm going to say fourth grade at the time, and my daughter was in second grade. I would pick them up at their mom's house every day when they got off the bus, and then we'd go do stuff or try to do stuff, or I'd act uninterested, but that's not important right now. So the bus pulls up, and my daughter, first one off the bus, runs over to the car and like, Dad, he cussed on the bus today. And I said, what? What did he say? And he was talking about her brother, and she goes, he got on the bus, and there was a kid in his seat, and he looked at him and goes, what the fuck?
And she was probably so excited.
Yeah,
to say
she was
it.
Second grade. She went through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Are you sure I can say it? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Mm-hmm. But I was, you know, kind of like, okay, I better talk to him about this, but down deep, it's like, okay, he used it properly.
Right. Oh, yeah. There is a sense of pride.
Yeah, what the fuck, you know? Yeah. And absolutely. And it's a boy, which is totally different than your little girl cussing. Mm. And
mine's the opposite.
And,
my daughter cusses. My son doesn't.
What I really like about it is that he was fully aware of this was a disruption in, in the normal scheme of things.
Yeah. And is the bus seat. Yeah.
What is the age where you get to instead of, oh, come on, you say, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is that age?
Right.
I guess it's third or fourth grade.
Fourth grade.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've always had at-home words. Like there's words can say at home, but these are words that you don't say at your grandparents'
house.
Now,
how does that, does
school.
That, is that effective? Like, well,
it's been effective for us because they don't really, like, when they've used them at home, it's usually like stub their toe or a Lego fell apart, and that's when you hear a curse word after the Legos all come crashing down, things like that. But they've never cursed outside of the house to where it would be. But if it's at home,
because I feel weird cussing into this microphone right now. Like,
oh,
it's
yeah,
not,
oh, that's
we have to get over. That's why we turn the lights down. We try to make it a different.
Oh, yeah,
so I don't do it in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a brilliant move.
Yeah.
You know how to do that one day?
Turn the lights down.
When they're doing the show, flip the lights off one break.
Motherfucker.
So they're not accidentally slipping in public.
No, no. My
I've never heard her cuss. Really?
Are you being serious?
No.
No, we were at the fair and she wore flip-flops and I was like, that's a bad idea. You should not wear flip-flops to the fair. I'm wearing flip-flops. Fine, wear flip-flops. So we walked through the pig barn and sure enough, she looks down and she's like, and she's a gagger. She's like, oh, and I was like, what? And I looked at my son, I go, your sister just stepped in pig shit. And she didn't she knew it was gross, but she didn't realize that pig shit was the same as pig poop. And so she's just like, so then in her brain, she's like, pig shit is the worst thing ever. I don't know where it comes from, but it's disgusting. And so we've gone to a couple of fairs since then. And every time before we leave the house, she says, no pig shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, then
no pig shit.
Wear your boots. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. But she somehow in her brain, she couldn't figure out that poop and shit were the same.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah, she thought that it was this whole other nasty thing that she had just learned about at the fair.
It's like when a kid discovers that they're eating chickens.
Yeah, and then it comes.
Yeah, all of a sudden. Yeah. Oh, and they either stop eating chickens or they get used to the idea.
Because it's delicious.
Yeah. Yes. My son has, October, he has been a petritarian, I believe is what it's called.
He only eats the family pets, Josh.
One of the saddest.
Petritarians.
I think it is. Is it petritarian?
Hey, speaking of that, did you really adopt a cat?
No, it came and didn't get along with my dog, and we had to send it away.
Oh.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
But you kept the beef hydrator or whatever it was.
I did get a dehydrator. Yeah, it was a big day. I got a dehydrator and tried to adopt a cat.
Like one of the Ron Popeil fruit meat.
Yeah, I think it's like a Nesco something.
Okay.
I made my own crushed red pepper from my garden.
Popeil dead?
Is he dead?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that was his voice on those.
On what?
On the early commercials. The Popeil Pocket Fisherman, that guy talking is Ron
Popeil. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Ron Popeil, the Popeil Pocket Fisherman?
He was the Billy Mays of the, that 80s, 90s?
Yeah, I think so. Well, earlier than that, probably. 70s, I'm going to say.
Oh, really? That long?
Yeah, late 70s, I'm going to say.
I don't really remember infomercials from the 80s.
What about Jack LaLanne? Is he still around?
Jack LaLanne is dead.
No, he did die.
He should be dead, yeah.
But he still has the blender. I
have a feeling he was a terrible man.
The blender lives on. Can you imagine? My brother is like he's a nut like that with the health and all of that.
Yeah, that's
and sometimes
a nut.
It's like, would you just fucking put something in the microwave? If I have to watch you prepare another meal for 45 minutes, I'm going to lose my mind.
I just get there's no way Jack LaLanne was polite to women.
You don't think so?
No, that's just
you know what? I'm going to agree with you on that one.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, really?
I bet he used the words dames, broads.
Yeah.
Skirts.
In fact, I don't even think he shortened it to broads. I think he said broad-hipped.
Broad-hipped, yeah.
Look at those broad-hipped.
Look at that broad-hip.
Yeah, he
birds,
would.
Yeah.
Bird. He was old, right? 90s?
Yeah, he was close to 100 when he died.
Huh. He wore the one-piece, right?
Wore the one-piece with the belt in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. I just got an outfit like that on Etsy the other day. Oh, it's like 70s, it's all red, it's polyester, and it has a belt.
That's pretty rad.
You've been looking at those for a long time.
I know, I finally got one. Yeah. I got one, and I got like this 80s, it looks like a Top Gun jumpsuit that's one piece.
Looks like Sharon Stone from...
I don't know what that
Casino?
Is.
Casino?
Casino?
No, it's not like that. It's like real, like the heavy canvas, like I'm going to roll under a car or something.
A coverall?
Kind of like a coverall, but it's supposed to be fashionable. Like it's, I don't know.
Right.
It's like an 80s thing.
There's a great scene in the new movie, The Butler, that has...
Lee Daniels, The Butler, please.
Yes, Lee Daniels, The Butler.
Have you seen it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, do you like it?
I liked it very much, actually.
Good.
It made me uncomfortable because there were some black people in the audience, and I just wanted to stand up and say I'd like to apologize for all of my ancestors.
Right.
Will you please stop talking?
It's kind of a very powerful... I did want to throw that in there at one Oh, no, don't let him go to Vietnam. You know, stuff like that. But
you buttle, boy. Did anybody yell that? Look at him buttle.
What does buttle mean?
When you're a butler, you buttle.
Oh, you buttle. Yes, that's true. Gosh.
You're good with the words.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the gentleman, I apologize, I don't know the actor's name. The gentleman who played Martin Luther King Jr. in the movie had a speech that he said that butlers were the original standard bearers of the civil rights movement in the United States because they inspired trustworthiness and a hard work ethic.
Wow.
Without even people started to realize it it all went on and neither party knew what was going on, but it really helped in the...
That's very fascinating.
Yeah, so.
Did you see it?
No, I'd like to.
Yeah. You're a movie guy too, right?
Very much so, yeah.
That's what I thought.
We're going to write a screenplay one of these days.
We are.
We absolutely are.
I can't get road movie out of my head. I cannot get a road of you and me smart
and you
car.
In a tiny car.
Yes.
Why would you not do
and
that?
And I'd like it to be a dramedy where we're on... Like maybe you're my stepfather.
And you learn a little something too.
Yes, yeah.
Very rough script. You need to just have like an idea.
And a camera.
And then,
go.
That's not a
like
bad idea.
Partially actually. Written, like very
we
little.
We have texted back and forth some really funny stuff, and I forget what it was.
But it was hilarious.
Who's keeping track of this
about
stuff?
A spitball or something? Remember, I texted you back, and it should end with somebody shooting a spitball across the room.
Oh, yeah. Somebody sad at a party or whatever. It was one of us.
Yeah. sat at a party.
And I believe "Dancing in the Moonlight" by King's Harvest.
King's Harvest was playing.
As we were sadly sitting.
Okay, so you two are in the car. Where are you going?
We're going. I think we're heading.
Your grandfather died, and we have to go across the country to for the funeral.
And
you're scared of flying, and.
Hmm.
There's a big scene where I try to talk you into flying, walk it off, one of those deals.
Yeah.
And bullshit, nobody's scared of flying. We're flying, asshole. Stuff like that.
Sure.
What a dad would tell
us. But you guys are entertainers, so you got to go to
father, son?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's your dad that died and his grandpa.
Right.
Okay. But you're both in the entertainment industry, so you go ahead and book a gig at a local club the night of the funeral.
That's pretty interesting.
So you can make some money.
I like that. And maybe the reason you can go... Wait, both of you have
deaths? We book it on the day of the funeral.
No, they're father-son.
So his father and my grandfather.
Okay. Yeah.
He's implying I'm older than him. I don't know why he would do that. But
that's why I said stepdad. That's why I
said... You're 20 years older than him. He could very well be
so anyway, we would book that gig on the night of the funeral because it's at some club that we've always wanted to work at.
No,
and
you just...
I think it's because we're kind of trying to avoid the funeral.
Maybe to get your mind off, but why does a comedian or an entertainer really book a gig for the money? You guys got to make enough money to get back home.
I'm out of money, or you're out of money.
No, you were going to the funeral and you were planning on getting a check. I mean, he died. You were going to get inheritance, and that's not what happened.
Are we a team?
So now you have to travel back across.
No, we're not a team, but we're both in stand up. Is that
No, you're a stand up, and you always thought you could be a stand up. No. So now you think we're going to do this together. This is what's going to happen.
He just lost his radio gig.
Ooh,
that's what just happened.
There you go. Just got bought out.
What have you heard? Really? Are you shitting me? Don't.
That's why you have the time.
He was kind of weird with me earlier.
Then a loudmouth redhead just took your place. Then what?
Like a hot dog down a hallway. This is a movie.
It's a movie. Yeah, I like it.
See, it could happen this easily.
Okay, I expect you to take it dark, right?
Why him?
Have you seen his vine?
Oh yeah, I do make some scary vines.
Did you see that?
Here's the shit.
Did you see that?
Do they really?
Yes. Did you see the fucking dishwasher one?
Yes.
Scares the shit out of me.
Had to watch it three times, and I was like, "Oh fuck!
Yeah.
Oh fuck! He's right there.
Absolutely.
He's standing in her doorway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how you got her to do that, but it's seamless when he just appears behind her while she's washing dishes.
Oh, it took about five takes.
Yeah, that was
I'm
good.
Really enjoying this vine.
Who was Perfect. It?
Oh, thanks. The killer is a St. Louis comedian named Bobby J. Cox, and then she is an improviser in St. Louis. Alexis, I think.
Or? Oh, yeah.
What does it mean? What does it say about Josh when he knows the gentleman's name and doesn't really know all that much?
Because the J. Cox guy's been in other.
Met her.
He's been in other vines of yours.
You're being a dick.
Yeah, he was in
I'm
the
not
one.
Being a
yes,
dick.
You are.
He's suggesting I'm a flaming queer. But yeah.
No, I'm suggesting you're a sexist. Is what I was suggesting.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah, you're not really sure who the broad is.
No, I have no
idea.
Or the
broad hip.
Yeah,
I didn't know broad was short for broad hipped.
I believe
is that where it comes from.
I was watching a movie.
Skirt, we know where skirt comes from.
I was watching a movie on TCM, and they were like, oh, look at those broad hips over there. And I was like, that's where broad has to come from.
Right.
Mm. So it is an assumption I made, but I think that's...
Unless she's broad.
I've been wrong before. No. Arby's, I was convinced Arby's meant the initials RB for roast beef. Mm. And that makes sense, right?
But it's
Arby's stands for...
Well,
I was proven wrong, yeah.
Seriously, it is the guy who founded Arby's, I think his initials are RB. I think.
It's something like, yeah.
But A-R-B-Y stands for something.
An advertising agency came up with America's Roast Beef, yes, sir.
Okay, that's
Arby's.
Stupid.
Oh,
that's a lie.
I wasn't even aware of that campaign.
No, that was a campaign when I was a...
The oldest Arby's sign's on the east side of Indianapolis. Did you guys know
The
that?
Oldest in the country?
I think so.
Are you shitting me?
Mm-mm, at Franklin and Washington Street.
Oh, yeah, okay. Been there.
Been by there.
That's the rudest Radio Shack in the city.
It's the big...
It's right there.
Well, they get held up every other day. Give them a break.
Well, I don't mind being a little jumpy, but
they
gotta
have
be
the
snotty.
Big,
once it's established, I'm not going to rob the store.
Who's holding up Radio Shack?
I don't know, but they do all the time.
They have electronic goods.
They do get
it. Yeah, but it's like weird. It's like stuff that you solder. It's not
no, they have iPhones. They have
they do.
Tablets. They
Chick
have all
goes
kinds
there
of stuff.
For weird stuff.
I haven't been into a radio. I haven't been in a Radio Shack.
Yeah, Chick goes there when she goes, I need an This is her. I need an adapter now.
Hey, did anybody else notice that Christy and I have the same voice now? That's his Christy voice.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can we talk to Josh? We haven't really got to know
Chick
Josh.
Is really interested in him today, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Am I talking about me?
A little bit.
Well, we're all over the place. But yeah.
But you're just a little more comfortable than you usually are.
Should we name this episode all over the place?
No. Nope.
Usually find a name for the episode.
I'd like to name it Josh Arnold.
I like, Jason, I appreciate this.
I don't like
this.
I don't like that.
I think that I immediately like Josh Arnold because it every time anybody says your name, I think of Hey Arnold, and that was one of my favorite
cartoons.
Oh,
that's comforting. That's a
football head.
Yeah, yeah. Football.
I love
well,
that.
Well, first of all, we had Josh Arnold scheduled to be on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. This was, what, May?
Shut up. And he calls me.
Was it
me,
May?
Yeah.
That was late June.
He calls me a week before we're supposed to do the podcast. No, I'm gonna maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we're going to do the podcast. He goes, look, we're going to be in Bloomington that weekend. Him and a bunch of his other
comedians. Oh, were
you there?
Yes.
You were there?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Him and a bunch of his other comedian friends. And I was going to drive up and do the podcast on Thursday, but I think I want to stay here in Bloomington. Was that the excuse or what did you say? I forget what you said, but can we reschedule it? It was real casual. And I said, yeah, sure. That's fine. So that's nice.
And you went down there, right?
And I went, and he said, don't forget, you're invited. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I called Warren and
made sure you were invited?
Greg Warren.
What about Greg?
Fuck Greg Warren.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad man.
Yeah. And so I went down. We had a great time. So then we rescheduled it for a day in the future. Mm-hmm. So that day comes up. We rescheduled it for another Thursday. Mm-hmm. I'm in TJ Maxx the Wednesday before you're supposed to be on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I text you, and the text is, hey, buddy, see you tomorrow, 10:30. Phone rings. Ring. Hey. Well, no. What did you say? Hey, you're gonna kill me or?
Oh, probably something along. Yeah. I get fairly dramatic when. Hey, you're really gonna decapitate me after.
Yeah, I think you did say decapitate. Yeah.
But I have to leave the Indiana area sooner than I thought.
Right.
A day or two before, and so I'm not going to. Yeah, because I was gonna. I thought I was going to leave Thursday. I'd come in here, do the podcast, and then head back to St. Louis, but I had to get back for Wednesday evening.
Right.
So.
Guess how he took it?
Poorly?
Poorly.
Probably as a personal insult.
Okay. Now yes. I want someone in this room to be honest. Mm-hmm. I didn't take it the worst of all of us. Who took it the worst?
I did.
And what did you say?
I was angry for a little bit. For about
what
a day.
Genuinely angry?
I was just disappointed.
Okay.
No. What was your initial phrase when I told you that?
I don't remember everything I said.
Fuck Josh Arnold.
Fuck
that fat piece of
shit.
No,
I did not say that.
She did say fuck Josh Arnold.
I said, and I was mad.
Fuck him. Fuck that guy.
And then, but that's always, unfortunately, my initial reaction to a lot of things is anger. And then
pain.
And then I realized, so then in my mind, I rationalize. I was like, I like Josh. I don't want to dislike Josh. So I hope that he is like, just fell in love and laid up in a bed and just having crazy mad sex for the next 3 days. Like, that's a good reason. So in my brain, that's what I decided you did, and I am okay with it.
All right. And I am not going to dispel that fantasy.
No. Who was it? Billy the Kid. He didn't dispute any legends that sprung up around him. Why?
Right.
Why don't do that?
Yeah. Chick, you were very funny on that phone call. I said, look, after you you'd give me, I said,
sure,
I would love to do the podcast another time. And you said, oh, would you now?
And I might have said something like, well, that's not going to happen.
I certainly was not trying to suggest that this was not an important project for me to be involved in. It's
I guess because when we first started this, I was like, I just want to have Josh Arnold on, that's all.
You were one of the main guests. We
you have to stop saying that because you've been saying that every time somebody comes in here.
Have I really?
I'm gonna be honest,
we've had 60 some guests.
Yeah,
60
so
guests
I'm so. But and I really said Josh picnics. Arnold. I really said Josh Arnold for sure.
Oh,
so it's been a year that we've been doing this.
Yeah,
and we're finally here.
I know, and I'm very excited about it. And you've barely spoken to me.
Yep. And we're out of time. We're totally out of time. Sorry, we've been talking about me.
That's not true.
And no, that's not true at all.
What do we? I read on Twitter yesterday where you said that. Did anybody else wait for their yearbook to come out so they could masturbate to their
Pictures of their classmates.
And I repeated that to a couple of people yesterday, and they were like, oh my God, that's so true. And I was like, are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those jokes.
Absolutely.
That doesn't really work on stage.
Well, it does, because
what?
There's no way. You have Facebook. You have a constant stream of pictures of slutty girls.
Yeah.
And you don't have to look at her in her school picture. Now it's just her.
This gets back to your generation is the last generation that did some of this.
Oh, yearbooks. Yearbooks were a big deal.
It was a huge deal. I would imagine they still kind of are.
They have a vintage. It's like a vintage feel, I guess, when the kids get the books, you know, because they're all on. I mean, they see their classmates all the time and all their pictures and all
that. Can't you just download, like,
I was going to say,
a digital yearbook?
Surprised they're not just handed USB drives.
Here's your yearbook.
Yeah.
That'll be $29.95.
I kind of wish that would. Yeah.
Yeah. You could just have people sign your smartphone and then you could just load
the younger kids still are into them.
Yeah, but elementary school gets theirs, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, would I have at it.
Really?
When I got the yearbook for about a week.
Were you looking for a specific person?
Sometimes.
Yeah. You knew? Yep. You knew?
There were at least a good half dozen where
I was. Do you remember remember names?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Me too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? Hmm. The old cliche is true. It's not. They're not the hot ones right now.
They're not the hot ones anymore. No, they sure aren't.
No. Oh, boy.
I went to a graduation recently, and the girl that was, I think she was like the president of the student council or something, but she did a speech as well, like before the valedictorian, and she kind of, I mean, she just did a 180 on these people. She, a bigger girl, cute, whatever, but she was just like, she was the class clown. She was funny, and she had so many great one-liners, and she was like, look, I'm going to Second City. This is what I'm going to do. And from a small town in Indiana, you don't hear that very often.
Right.
And she was like, but I just want to leave you guys with one thought. In 10 years, I'm going to be the hot one at the reunion.
It was awesome.
That was the best. It was the best graduation speech I'd ever heard.
That's great.
Yeah.
Some of them are still attractive, but and
but
now,
do they still carry themselves like they're the hot fucking girl in high school?
That's what makes them unattractive. I didn't go to my 10-year.
We've had this discussion too. Is that who are the hottest people now? The hottest people now are the ones that had to rely on a personality at a certain point in their life.
Yeah,
and then now reasonably bearable as far as looks go, and that's the whole package. You know?
Yeah, I guess that's reasonably bearable as far as looks go. Yikes. I don't even know what to do with that.
Personality makes up for a lot.
It really does.
Does it? But that's not the first thing you're attracted to.
Me?
Yeah.
Personality?
In general, nobody's first. You don't look across the room and go, she looks like she's got a nice personality on her.
No, I think Josh and I are agreement on this.
An ass.
Tits and ass, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm more of an ass man.
You're an ass man? Mm-hmm. And totally, well, because of the girl at sushi, I always thought you were a boob guy.
Oh, gosh, she does have some wonderful.
She doesn't work there anymore.
We were really disappointed to learn she
doesn't work there. So disappointed. The last time we had sushi there, we both suffered an anxiety attack from the MSG or something. It was awful.
I think we were roofied. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We might have been roofing.
I'm glad I wasn't there when you found out that she was no longer working.
Yeah,
I would have thrown a tray or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, really? You're a butt guy?
I love boobs. I love them.
You love boobs, yeah.
But yeah, I'm more of an ass man.
Huh. All right.
There you go.
I didn't know.
Even in high school?
I think in high school you want it all. It doesn't matter whichever one gets
just
to your
face
first.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was still an ass guy. I used to like...
Here we go.
It all sounds creepy when you...
No, not at all.
I used to... if a girl bent over, let's say, and I could see some cleavage, I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
But if a cheerleader sat down in her chair and her skirt kind of came up on the back of the chair, that was the highlight. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
yeah.
Are you a butt guy or are you a panty guy? Or is it that specific?
It's not that specific.
Okay.
It's just the area.
Just the area.
The area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we?
No, but I think it's easier to be an ass guy, right? She doesn't see you stare at her ass. If you're a boob guy and you're staring at her boobs, then she's like, you're a fucking creep.
Maybe.
No, guys can look at boobs and have girls not notice.
Oh, that's so cute.
Right, right.
That's true. I'm totally confident in that statement.
Fucking adorable that you guys think that we don't know when you look at our boobs.
Does it only bother you if you're not attracted to the guy?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't bother me at all, really.
It does.
It does. It does.
He said, staring at her boobs.
Yeah. Right.
But really? Eating.
Yeah, because if I see the outline of a wang in somebody's jeans, I'm going to look.
Yeah, but aren't you looking for different? Aren't you like, oh, look at that. It's a silly wang.
Yeah, because it's different. Like, those aren't attractive. Like,
right, right.
I'm totally for the purpose of them. I'm not much for looking at them. Right?
As one of my ex-girlfriends once said, those are some ugly apparatuses.
Yes, they are. You've never seen there's not one that you're like, that is beautiful. That is a beautiful piece of person. Nobody's ever said that about a wiener. And maybe I am 32 now and I should stop calling it a wiener. I don't know.
No, it's endearing.
A penis.
I don't like to say penis.
How about penis?
Penis? I don't know. That's almost more doable. I don't know. I think when girls start saying all these things, it becomes kind of erotic, so I should probably stop.
Penis makes me sad for some reason.
Penis?
It does sound sad.
Like a pennant?
You have to pay penis.
You have to pay penis. I think that's blasphemous.
Okay, where are we? Should we?
No.
Well, we have a guest.
Oh, check. Yeah, that's right. We have a
guest. His name's Josh. He's your friend.
I'm sorry.
What's your middle name?
Matthew.
Joshua Matthew
Arnold, yeah.
It's very Jesus-y.
It is. A lot of people think I'm Jewish. And I'm not.
I would go there.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
But you seem like a... Never mind, I'm not going to say that.
No, what?
Friendly. A friendly Jew.
Oh.
I don't know why. I don't know why that even came into my mind. You seem like a friendly person would have been the thing to say.
I think Jews would be okay being called friendly.
Yeah, no, I know. I shouldn't say it. I should... Well, fuck, I thought Paul Mercurio was Jewish forever.
He is.
No, he's not. He's Italian.
I like to perpetuate rumor.
No, but so then when we were on the road, we started this game, Jew or Italian.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of people you could do that
with. So is that...
We didn't say Italian, though.
So me asking if that's racist, is that racist? Or are we just having fun with background?
No.
No, I mean, we're not...
I don't know.
But I'm also very not... I'm not... I rarely am concerned with that kind of thing.
I could see that being so friendly.
What was your group like in high school?
No,
it was interesting, and this is I was talking to somebody asked me this, and I go, you know, I go, I wasn't with the cool kids, but I wasn't with the nerds either. I was kind of in the middle, and my buddy goes, sounds like nerd talk to me.
I got along with everybody,
and it definitely does.
Yeah,
but that's kind of where I was. I was the popular kids liked me because I made them laugh,
right? Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't play sports,
right?
And I wasn't like I wasn't a stoner or anything, and so but I was in drama and I was in things like show choir and stuff, and so
show choir,
yeah. Oh,
okay. Were you really?
Yeah,
you were in show choir.
There was some video of me dancing.
No,
some ladies there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I always kind of thought that was, I don't know if noble's the word, but I thought like the guys that did show choir and the guys that were the cheerlifters, I was like, they are probably getting more than anybody.
I think so. I was not that guy.
You were not.
No, you
were the guy that she was like, so I think I'm going to hang out with him.
Not.
No? You were the friend? The brother?
I was the goofy guy who, at least I thought I was in love most of high school with this one girl.
Oh, it was.
Did she know it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And as soon as I would get over it, she would come back and sort of lure me back in.
Oh,
and then I'd be like, she's finally interested. And then I would start showing her more attention and then it would
fizzle
out.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a cycle that I let myself get into with that.
I got my girlfriend a birthday card recently, and it says, I hope you find a guy that ignores you enough to keep you interested.
Yeah.
And that's
Isn't that important? Isn't that weird?
It's very odd, but it's so
true.
There
are some girls that are like that.
That's true.
By the way, I don't think that girl was being consciously malicious. I think it was just...
No, but if you stop paying attention, then she wants to gain your attention again.
Yeah, yeah. And
wasn't being a bitch.
I also think there was a part of her that really wanted to like me, wanted to be attracted to me.
Because you had all the qualities, but she just...
Yeah, it just wasn't
just
there.
Personally,
I mean, you could never fault anybody for that.
And she was honest. She was nice, right? It's not like she...
Well, no, it was the dishonesty that was sort of bothersome.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe painful as well.
Because
it was like, if you just came out and said, this will never, ever happen. Well, first off, I probably wouldn't have believed her.
Right.
That was irrational. But it would have helped, maybe.
Yeah.
So.
Do you fall in love a lot?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve.
I would not
I
guess
think
that.
About ex-girlfriends a lot.
Really?
In fact, I don't know. There are only a couple. I'd say I've had maybe five or six very serious relationships. Mm-hmm. and only a couple of them do I not still
we were talking
communicate with
or feel. There are only like two that I feel like, all right, that's resolved,
that's done. Yeah,
yeah,
really.
So there's another three or four that
that I think about. There's one for sure that I would marry tomorrow.
Are you serious?
You told.
And how long have you been broke up with? You don't want to.
8 to 10 years.
Are you serious?
And I don't hang on to it like, oh, I have to wait.
No.
Or she's eventually going to come around. Right, she's married and has children.
It's the Greg Hahn thing. Look at her ignoring me with the back of her head. Right. Yeah. Right.
But so I'm not. It's not a not like a. I'm not avoiding. Current relationships because I'm waiting for that to finally come. Or it's nothing like that.
That's good though, because if you carry that onto the next relationship, then that's you're
not doing that person any service.
Yeah, any service.
Yeah, no. And I don't do that. I don't compare.
But do you think? Oh, that's what I was gonna say. So this one that you said I would marry tomorrow. Do you just think that that's like she has the qualities that you want in a person, and until another person like that comes along,
she's the gold standard?
Yeah, yes. She kind of set the bar.
Or do you
so think, while I don't compare the like other girls to her, I compare my own feeling. Like it's like,
sure,
it's like she was the only one that ever got me thinking about marriage and kids without freaking out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
that says
she's
a
the
lot.
Only person that did that.
That says a lot.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Are you thinking that there can't be anybody else like her?
No, I kind of don't think that, actually.
You're just, but so it sounds like you're pretty content in how you feel. Like
yes.
you're not reeling over it and worried about it. And
no, not at all.
Right.
Not at all. It doesn't, I don't.
Wow.
I mean, every now and again, I'll have a dream where she calls me and is like, I want to reconcile.
But
I want to.
Can you teach that?
Yeah, I was going to say, can you teach that? Can you guys hang out more?
Hang on. But in all fairness, he is severely medicated. So,
okay, but severely medicated. It's like he's just piling. Like
what are you two saying?
I don't.
What are you trying
to
say?
No, I'm just saying that
he's healthy.
His that he feels.
How am I not healthy?
Oh my god, he's just saying that he.
You two started it. Going, can you teach that?
Because
can I ask you why?
No. Go.
You have been on SSRIs before. You've been on a daily SSRI.
Absolutely. All of them.
Which, for anybody who doesn't know, is a serotonin re-upped.
Your Celexas, your Prozacs, your Wellbutrins, your...
Which one worked the best?
Gosh, I'm going to have to say Celexa.
I was going to say, can I say the last one you were on seemed to be... Like,
do you
it
remember
was almost,
the last one?
The last one you were on, I want to say, was Celexa, because you were able to, like... I feel okay, and wean yourself off of it.
Yeah, that one's not... Well, I have trouble weaning off it, but
see, but I don't want you two to burst out laughing, even though you might want to, but I...
I'm cover up my microphone.
I feel like... When I was on that medication, I felt like I better be on this medication. This should be... I should be on something.
Yes.
But even in my worst moments now, I don't think I would benefit from being on medication.
Well...
Now, one of two things is happening. Either I'm crazier... For thinking that, or I'm better for thinking that.
Well, maybe
that.
those medications were your welfare. Like, it was enough to get you through that time, and now you don't need them anymore. That's a possibility.
Have you been diagnosed?
I have not been. It wasn't, it's not clinical depression, or it's more situational depression.
Okay.
But it's not.
So we don't know that it's necessarily a chemical imbalance.
It's a it's a coping issue.
I
think that it's like you said, situation coping.
Mine is a chemical imbalance.
No,
and so
she's not right about that. I have a coping mechanism problem.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Wow. Yours is, you'd say, physiological, right?
Yeah. Which,
okay.
Yeah, it's a chemical. My dad has it very acutely. Mm-hmm. He didn't work for a lot of while I was growing up,
mm-hmm.
and so I got it as well. It's very genetic, and it's a chemical imbalance. So the pharmacological effects are actually physiological, and so it does help quite a bit. It's like there's no. I've tried going off of it because the medicine fools you into thinking that you're cured, and so I've gotten off it before, and then the next thing I know. Mm-hmm. I'm crying in my car and pulling into the emergency room because...
So that's your diagnosis. And with that... Panic disorder. That's what I was going to ask. So the chemical imbalance, does that just cover everything? Or do you say, I have a chemical imbalance and I have a panic disorder and I have...
Oh, no, it's the chemical imbalance causes the panic disorder.
Okay.
So it's just, I have anxiety disorder. It's just a fight or flight issue. The chemicals get screwed up for no reason. These chemicals will trigger my brain, the fight or flight response in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
And then there are, you know, physical symptoms that go along with it that are just very debilitating.
Sure, sure. And then you have to ask yourself, what about the side effects of the medication that you're taking for?
Exactly. And okay. Chick and I have joked about this.
I found the side effects that I...
Do they outweigh
the... I'm aware of. I mean, I wasn't at times... I certainly wasn't as sad or as upset. It evened those things out. But I had trouble with joy, too, you know?
Yep. Yeah, it can numb you. It doesn't numb me as much. The biggest side effects for me, to be completely frank, are sexual.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they're not necessarily a bad thing. Okay. I can, you know, it's not an erection issue. It's and Chick and I have talked about this before.
You get on the train and you never get to your destination.
Yep. Right. And so that's caused some problems. Okay, it's like 45 minutes in, you're not attracted to me. I'm not doing what you want. It's like, no, look, call my doctor right now.
But that's the exact reaction a woman would have.
Yes, yeah. And it takes quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's when you have to tell her to shut the hell up.
Everything personally. Yeah. So,
Yep. So, you know, Chick, for you, it might be more of a, you know, Xanax might be more of a...
I wouldn't mind having access to some Xanax for
and
some
as needed
situations.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
That seems absolutely. To be... And I there would no way I would ever try to
give you
a professional diagnosis.
No, certainly not. No, we're not doctors.
But do you
we're
think,
comedians.
Too, that you're... You write, you do these, you've done film, right?
Yeah, just starting into doing stuff like that, yeah.
Right, and do you think that that's a huge, like a form of therapy for you?
Kind of, but I don't really look at comedy or writing as it's therapeutic in that I get to, like these vines,
mm-hmm.
I get a joke in my head,
right.
And I just have 6 seconds to get it out, and now it's out of my head. And mm-hmm. it keeps me busy.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping yourself busy is mm-hmm. key is to anxiety and depression.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And
key.
One of the things that's going on, Chick, is you're working out. That's huge.
No, that's the one thing, too, that, I mean, if I don't go, I feel, that's like, oh, geez, I better... You know, and then I get down on myself because I don't go.
Well, there's that,
go, and
but
then...
physiologically, it's also keeping you upbeat mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, sure. And mm-hmm. I've tried to build a tiki bar that's not done yet. But I want to, you know, everybody fucking says this. I want to write and I want to do all sorts of stuff. But I haven't
yet to do it. But your thing, too, is that you have, even if, I know you know a few people at the gym, but you're painfully loyal. Almost to a fault are you loyal. And so you almost have a loyalty to the people at the gym to show up and be there. And I think that's what helps you continue to go.
I'm painfully loyal until I'm not.
Until you're not. And then you're the exact opposite.
Wildly unloyal. It's weird. I go through, and this loyal is lasting way too long is what I'm telling you. And I need to get to another gym. Maybe that, no, I don't know what I'm saying.
Actually. No, but it's do you struggle with, it's so, I don't know if interesting is the word, but I just, every time you say something, it's not at all what I thought you were. Like, I don't know what the perception I had of you was.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe I give off the impression of being more confident than I am or more.
No, because I like you because you're not overly confident. There are a handful of guys that we know that have no business being confident, and it's and it makes me out of my mind.
We're
it makes me dislike them so much.
I think Tom on air with the Bob and Tom show has sort of created a little image of Josh.
Yeah.
It's a little warped.
You think so?
For funny sake.
A little dark.
A little darker.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, if you've seen his vines, that's kind of truthful.
I think he is a
I'm a big my vines are funny. Or they're attempts at being funny. Mm-hmm.
They're kind of funny, but they're kind of scary mm-hmm. too.
But then I have a series that I call Terror Vines. I'm a big horror movie fan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my theory, I've thought about this for a while. I think that's my way of dealing with my anxiety is if when I go see a scary movie, I am controlling the fear I'm feeling. It's my choice mm-hmm. to go get scared,
right,
and to walk away from it. It's And so,
does it scare you though? Like,
yeah, there
it
are movies that really scare
really
me.
Really scare
and
you?
And I really like it. And then there are times where I'm like, I crave, like, I just want to be scared today.
Really?
Hmm. But, and I think it's because it's my way of going, I'm in control of the fear, mm-hmm. right. as opposed to this chemical that's yeah. screwed up in my head, you know, doing
making the choice to be scared.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you make choices to feel other ways?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I really try to, a really good friend of mine who suffered from depression and some anxiety as well, and he actually took his own life a couple of years ago. He gave me some advice one time. He just keep your happiness in your own hands. And now, knowing the outcome of him, it sounds strange to get that
right.
that he was given. But he was very smart and very fun, and he yeah. And so that's kind of been a daily goal of like with everything, with women, with career, with friends. It's like, you know what? Today I want to go out and I want to get sushi and I want to go see a movie. And if I ask anybody if they want to join me and they don't, I'm not going to change my plans.
Right.
This is what I,
this was my plan.
Yeah. This
yeah.
was my,
yeah. That's you are the healthiest, medicated. Like, unfortunately you find people and they're always between medications. Like, they can't ever find the right yeah. recipe.
I've been there.
You've been there.
Yeah,
and so how long do you feel like you've been comfortable where you are?
This one, a year, 2 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. And I've had, I was diagnosed when I was about 18.
Uh-huh.
And looking back, I've had anxiety disorder since I was 5.
Sure.
I didn't know what it was then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just thought I was afraid of being kidnapped.
Right. Because
I would lay awake in my all night, just yeah. somebody's going to come in and kidnap me.
Right.
That's, I don't know if you remember this, in the 80s.
That's all that was going on.
They told you, oh, by the way, the day, they yeah. wasn't, it wasn't when or if you're kidnapped.
It's when, yeah. But it seemed like yeah. it was always on the news.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
was a kid that disappeared and it was always on the news. I agree.
Yeah.
I was,
but then they
yeah.
came out with it, like 80% of all kidnapped kids were someone they knew, you know, like an uncle or a mother, father, custody situation,
yeah, which that's often the case.
Right. Yeah, and so I would lay there just petrified.
Yeah.
Now, looking back, I go, "Oh, I was having a panic attack."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there was years where I was on Paxil and it was working great, and mm-hmm. then my insurance changed and they forced me to get off of it, and it really messed me up.
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole nother show about insurance.
Yeah. Yes.
Being
yeah.
They're the real doctors.
Well, this one's cheaper.
States.
Yeah, it doesn't right. work as well. Well, mm-hmm. you're going to have to take it because it's cheaper.
Right.
Well, now this is a mess.
Great.
it, thank you very much. It's a mess.
Yeah, anxiety disorder is very misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
And I blame the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a black cloud hanging over me today. Mm-hmm. I'm a little unhappy.
People use them interchangeably.
You know,
depression, anxiety.
And that's
so not
bad
the case.
For you.
Yes,
you know,
that's not the case.
One of the things, and Josh, will you come back and be on another episode?
I'd love
of the podcast?
To. Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing. Before we go, I want to mention, because this all reminded me of something. People act like depression and anxiety and coping skills
mm-hmm.
are a choice.
Right. Right.
The choice we're making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we have trouble or depression, there's that great scene in The Sopranos. When Carmela looks at Tony and goes, "You've been depressed all your life, and now you've got our son pulling this shit."
Yeah.
And he looks at her and goes, "You think this is a choice?
Yeah.
You think
yeah.
this is a fucking choice?" And
mm-hmm.
it's not. And
right.
if you feel like you can't cope, or go see somebody, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just like,
absolutely.
It's an illness. It's just like a cold or cancer or whatever. Go get it fixed. Just mm-hmm. because it's your brain.
That's why I'm on a daily med.
And just yeah. because some people.
I fought it.
Think, why are you acting like that? You have a choice not to act like that. And it's like, no, well, sometimes, you know, you don't.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and even my friends still. It's like, oh, man, I think I'm going to have a, I'm kind of, well, you know what it is, so you can, just don't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah,
just don't worry about it.
Well, I wish you were that rational.
Really not mm-hmm. the choice we're making.
Yeah.
Thank you, Josh, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I'd love to come back.
I feel all better.
Yeah, we have to have Josh back.
We have to. We didn't.
We just hit the tip.
We scratched the surface.
We played just the tip.
It was just the tip with Josh. There's the title of your episode.
No, it's too long.
You gotta stop. The title needs to come.
We don't have to have a
this. Yeah. Yeah, this episode was getting the peak of the cheerleader skirt up.
Right. Yes.
Next time we're getting in there.
Spankies. Yes.
Very well done.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Doty. Good night, everybody.